Welcome to Kickin' Brass Radio. This is the first podcast, hopefully of many. This is my first time dabbling in this sort of thing, so you're going to have to bear with me as I get used to this and figure out what the hell I'm doing here. So I just sent the email over to Manfiora Fuentes, the colonel of the state police, regarding the proposals and amendments and basically renewal of the entire Administrative Code 13:54, which happens to include justifiable need and what defines justifiable need. It's completely absurd that we have to demonstrate a need to exercise a fundamental constitutional right. And it's even outlined in the state of New Jersey's constitution. Article 1, Rights and Privileges. All men are by nature free and independent and have certain natural and unalienable rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and of pursuing and obtaining safety and happiness. How in the hell are we supposed to defend life and liberty, possess property, and pursue and obtain safety if we are not afforded our right to carry a firearm? It's illogical. According to justifiable need, we have to first be attacked or threatened, and we have to provide proof of these events. That doesn't sound constitutional to me. That doesn't even pass New Jersey's constitution, let alone the Second Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, and the Supreme Court rulings in Heller and McDonald. I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. I am tired of the three branches in New Jersey, basically doing whatever the hell they want with our rights, and then we can't do anything. All we do is shout and scream, and they all ignore us. We write letters. We went to Trenton. We had 1,000 people in Trenton, and it's just not enough. They know that they're not accountable to anyone, so they know no matter what we do, it doesn't matter. They do whatever they want, and it's going to take a Supreme Court ruling coming from New Jersey to overturn the racist Jim Crow atrocities that this state carries out on a daily basis. I mean, lives are being ruined here. This isn't some silly game. Honest, good people's lives are being destroyed. Brian Aiken, Shanine Allen, Stefan Josie, and many others whose story didn't get out to the mainstream media, the media in New Jersey that doesn't care about rights it doesn't like. So we got the alert from ANJRPC, and we also got a notification from New Jersey Second Amendment Society. Basically, we have to contact Colonel Fuentes before the end of day tomorrow, February, Friday the 13th, because that's when the comment section closes. And Evan Knappen put together a nice brief for ANJRPC. They did say, however, that the state police is going to ignore things that don't pertain to the changes. However, I disagree with that, because the comments section is open for the entire readoption of New Jersey Administrative Code 13:54. 13:54 includes subsection 2.4, which are the requirements to carry a handgun. And under 2.4 is section D, number 1, which pertains to a private citizen obtaining a carry permit and having to show justifiable need to do so. So I specifically wrote, I took Evan Knappen's brief and modified it for my own liking, and specifically first and foremost commented on the section New Jersey Administrative Code 13:54.2.4D, section 1, which is the justifiable need. And I'm going to read that to you. I wasn't going to do it, but I am going to read it to you. So this is the letter that I sent, specifically the first part. Dear Colonel Fuentes, Superintendent, please accept the following comments as to the readoption of NJAC 13:54, which expired November 13, 2014, as well as the rule proposal number PRN 2014-220. First and foremost, I oppose the readoption of NJAC 13:54-2.4D1, which was specified in your proposal as C through D, no change. NJAC 13:54-2.4D1 states, D. Each applicant form shall also be accompanied by a written certification of justifiable need to carry a handgun, which shall be under oath, and which, number one, in the case of a private citizen, shall specify in detail the urgent necessity for self-protection as evidenced by the specific threats or previous attacks which demonstrate a special danger to the applicant's life that cannot be avoided by means other than by issuance of a permit to carry a handgun. Where possible, the applicant shall corroborate the existence of any specific threats or previous attacks by reference to reports of such incidents to the appropriate law enforcement agencies. Article 1 of the 1844 New Jersey State Constitution states, Rights and Privileges. 1. All men are by nature free and independent and have certain natural and unalienable rights, among which are those of enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and of pursuing and obtaining safety and happiness. The very premise outlined in NJAC 13:54-2.4D1 that I must first be threatened or attacked and provide evidence of such to prove a need for self-protection is a direct contradiction with the natural and unalienable rights cited and protected by the Article 1 of the 1844 New Jersey State Constitution, in which defending life and liberty, as well as possessing and protecting property, and of pursuing and obtaining safety are among those rights. Government cannot place a required need to exercise what is explicitly considered a natural right. Enumerated rights are not subject to interest balancing. Supreme Court of the United States, District of Columbia et al., petitioners verse Dick Anthony Heller. In the majority opinion, Justice Scalia writes, we know of no other enumerated constitutional right whose core protection has been subjected to a freestanding interest balancing approach. The very enumeration of the right takes out of the hands of government, even the third branch of government, the power to decide on a case-by-case basis whether the right is really worth insisting upon. A constitutional guarantee subject to future judges' assessments of its usefulness is no constitutional guarantee at all. Constitutional rights are enshrined with the scope they were understood to have when the people adopted them. Whether or not future legislators, or yes, even future judges, and in this case, future state police, think that the scope too broad. we would not simply apply interest balancing approach to the prohibition of a peaceful neo-Nazi march through Skokie. See National Socialist Party of America v. Skokie, 432 U.S. 43, 1977 per curiam. The First Amendment contains the freedom of speech guarantee that the people ratified, which included exceptions for obscenity, libel, and disclosure of state secrets, but not for the expression of extremely unpopular and wrong-headed views. The Second Amendment is no different. Like the First, it is the very product of an interest balancing by the people, which Justice Breyer would now conduct for them anew. And whatever else it leaves to future evaluation, it surely elevates above all other interests the right of law-abiding, responsible citizens to use arms in defense of hearth and home. As outlined in the Supreme Court's Heller decision, no branch of government can decide on a case-by-case basis whether my right to defend life and liberty is worthy of need. Therefore, NJAC 13:54-2.4(d)(1) should be either repealed entirely or amended to include our constitutionally protected right to defending life and liberty. I don't think I could be more clear than that. We have a right to defend our lives. We have a right to defend our family. And to think that that right ends the moment we walk out our front door into public is completely absurd. And if you take it one step further and you look at their definition of justifiable need, urgent necessity, well, if it's urgent and it's a necessity, how am I supposed to get a carry permit while I'm being attacked instantly? It's too late at that point. I'm dead. I'm dead, or I'm raped, or I'm robbed, and I can't do anything about it. The only way I can defend myself in this state is with 3/4 of an ounce of pepper spray to cause a temporary discomfort to my attacker. I mean, the state is more concerned with my attacker than me being able to defend myself from the bad guy. Whose side are they on? I think it's clearly obvious. And speaking of the attacker, you know who's not writing the colonel superintendent of the state police? Criminals. You know why? Because they don't give a damn about any of this. They don't even know the laws. They don't operate under the law, and they could care less about the law. All these laws do is create traps to manufacture criminals. And once you're a felon for life, and you can't get your rights back no matter where you live. You can't escape what New Jersey has done to you. They've destroyed you. Shanine Allen was facing 10 years for having her legally owned firearm and a carry permit in New Jersey. All she did was cross the river, an imaginary line where rights go to disappear and die. And meanwhile, we have a man here selling guns illegally in Bergen County. He will be deported to his native of Ecuador, apparently. But he doesn't go to jail. He pleads guilty to 2 charges of illegal gun possession in a 10-count indictment. And they don't put him in jail. Can someone help me understand this? Shanine Allen went through the federal background check that everybody's demanding, that quote-unquote 90% of Americans want us to go through. She went through it. She got a carry permit. And a state can just decide that it doesn't recognize that background check, even though it uses the same background check when we purchase our firearms? And getting to that, how many background checks do we need to go through? I mean, we've gone through the background check. Oh, so we can buy it, but you don't want us to carry it? Unless we're special, of course. So, I think I've exhausted the negativity for one day here, and there are some good things that have been happening across the country, and just like to touch on those. Looks like a federal judge down in Texas has decided that the interstate ban on purchasing firearms is unconstitutional. And I mean, I agree with him. I just don't understand. It's a piece of property. I don't understand why. What's the difference if I go to another state and buy something? I don't even know how these things got passed in the first place, to be honest with you. But hopefully, I mean, we know that's going to be appealed. Hopefully, it'll get smacked down on the appeal, and I'm hoping that this becomes nationwide, because then I won't have to go to my local police station to apply for a permission slip to then go through the same background check again when I make the purchase. I will just start buying out in Pennsylvania or Delaware. I mean, I'm not going to support the state that doesn't support my rights. And it sucks for the New Jersey gun dealers that are out there, but I mean, you guys have been around for a long time, and it almost seems like you were asleep at the wheel when all this was going through. So I know there are good dealers out there that support causes and try to help us in this fight, but I mean, you need to take it from the other angle. You're going to be out of business. And this state doesn't need any more job loss than it has already had. The other thing is I see a national reciprocity bill has been introduced. And while it's all good and all that, I still see issues with it. It says that you still have to follow the laws of the state you're in. I mean, why are we creating 50 sets of laws here? All that does is set up this lawful carrier for failure so that he can become a criminal. We don't need 50 sets of laws for carrying a firearm. There is one law. It's the Second Amendment. It doesn't get any more clear than that. I mean, if all these laws are supposed to be stopping crime, why do we still have crime? We're ranked, what, number two or three by the Brady campaign, New Jersey is, and yet there are shootings every single day. There's murders almost every day in Newark, Jersey City, Patterson, Camden, Atlantic City, Trenton. I mean, it just never ends. But these laws, every time they're passing a new law, they're going to make everyone safer. That's bull. No law has ever eliminated the act that it made illegal. There's just more people breaking the new law. And a lot of the time, those are good people who didn't understand that they were breaking the law and they got caught in the trap. So stop the insanity already. Get rid of all this nonsense. Let's make national carry one clear-cut set of law. I mean, it's real easy. Don't harm people. Like, don't rob and rape and murder people. Is that so hard to understand? If you're not doing that, then why does the state care if you're carrying a firearm? You're a good guy. And don't even get me started. Well, when a good guy snaps and murders his family, when you can pass legislation that can look into the future and determine when somebody's going to snap, you let me know. Until then, stop the insanity. I think this is going to be it for today. Hopefully you guys like this. I'm actually talking to nobody because I have no subscribers right now. But if you would be so kind, go ahead and subscribe. And if I can, I'm going to try to do this every week. We're going to see how that plays out. I thought it was pretty good the first time around here. So hopefully I can get better as time goes on. And I'm going to set up some ways, you know, for the listeners to interact and stuff. So all that stuff is in the near future. So hopefully you liked it. And be sure to kick some brass out there, will you?